The following service from First Baptist Church of Savannah was recorded on March 11th, 2018. We hope you enjoy the program.
Good morning. All of you who are here know where you are, but for our radio audience, we want to welcome you to worship at First Baptist Church in Savannah. I'm glad to see you and happy to have you here this morning. The psalmist says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." If you're not glad right now, I'm hoping at the end of worship this morning, you'll be able to say, "I was glad I was there," and that you can have the experience of gladness to come and being in the house of the Lord. Will you join me in the call to worship that is found in your order of worship? The Lord is merciful and gracious. The Lord of life is lifted up. Let us worship God.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to gather here in this place. a place where we know that you can be found, though you are everywhere. I pray, Father, your blessing upon each person who has come. May our minds be open and our hearts be open to the movement of your Spirit, and indeed, when we leave this place, may we know that we have been with you. In Christ's name, amen.
Broken promises, our broken hearts, our broken rules, and we have all heard that confession is good for the soul. So this morning I invite you to make your confession to the God who created you in love, recognizing that His grace and His love is greater than any of the harm that we could have done by our broken promises. Will you join me in the call to confession, in the confession of the congregation? God, our Redeemer, we confess that we are people of ashes and dust. We grumble and complain when you have provided all we need. We continue to walk in darkness when you have given light to the world. Forgive us, God of grace. Help us to trust in you, so that we may not perish, but have eternal life through Christ our Lord.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. May God bless you.
First lesson comes from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if the serpent bit any man, he would look at the serpent and live. Here ends the first reading.
The lesson from the epistle this morning is from Ephesians, the second chapter, the first 10 verses. I'm reading from the New Century Version. "In the past, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did against God. Yes, in the past, you lived the way the world lives, following the ruler of the evil powers that are above the earth. That same spirit is now working in those who refuse to obey God. In the past, all of us lived like them, trying to please our sinful selves and doing all the things our bodies and our minds wanted. We should have suffered God's anger because of the way we were. We were the same as all other people. But God's mercy is great, and God loved us very much. Though we were spiritually dead because of the things we did against God, God gave us new life with Christ. You have been saved by God's grace, and God raised us up with Christ and gave us a seat with him in heaven. He did this for those in Christ Jesus, so that for all future time, God could show the very great riches of his grace by being kind to us in Christ Jesus. I mean that you have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. It was not the result of your own efforts, so you cannot brag about it. God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing." Thus ends the reading of the epistle.
Stop, rest of glory.
This morning comes from John, the third chapter, verses 14 through 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what he has done, and that what he has been done through God. This is the written word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For a relative newcomer, driving through Savannah with no particular destination in mind is a fascinating pastime. Even familiar places are more appreciated when viewed from a variety of angles. This building has watched over Chippewa Square for 185 years, easily 2.5 lifetimes. It's the same place, yet the shrubbery changes, the colors intensify and fade. The trees leaf out in lime-like hues that darken with the advent of winter. A student with sketch pad and colored pencils today will see a different picture tomorrow. The place hasn't changed, but what she sees does. Our three scripture passages this morning take on some of the same character. The events haven't changed. The words are the same, but the colors mix and move and morph each time we read them. Such is the nature of God's Word, and such is the working of the Holy Spirit. This morning, see the tapestry grow before you as I draw out the colors and weave these passages together. The tapestry begins with a wide, dun-colored threads of travel, panels of tan and brown and ochre, colors of dust and dirt and perspiration. But then things begin to change. The shocking colors of vile yellow and orange and red appear slowly at first, then more pronounced as the mood changes. The people, the chosen of God, those tired trekkers are angry at Moses and at God, and more blood-red skeins of accusation and complaint appear in the tapestry. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. The Israelites, released from generations of servitude under the hand of Pharaoh, are ungrateful, critical, disrespectful. God responds with judgment. Thick black threads wind their way through the fabric. God's judgment is present. Coiled red and black cords twist through the dusty colors. The Israelites begin to perish. The fanged adders take their toll. Red, orange, black, side by side. Bit by bit, a white thread appears. Then more white yarn bundles. Moses hears the people. We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. Verse 7. White turns to soft blue, then azure, then deeper blue, soft colors, calming colors. God responds. He says, make a snake, put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. Out of the deep blue come flashes of gold and copper and bronze, metallic thread, entwined and coiled into a slash of brilliance against the mixed canvas, framed by blend of blue and white. The brazen staff is lifted up, and salvation comes. New colors of life appear. For the first time, dusty browns blend toward soft green, then deeper green. Life emerges. Green turns into white, then yellow, then orange, and the Israelites who have been saved face the rising sun. Another panel is added to the tapestry. The bright colors of dawn begin to change. They darken more and more until the colors have turned black, a smoky, soft black. John 3:19 says, "Men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." The blackened pattern dominates the tapestry. The effect is lifeless and dark and dead. But then white threads begin to appear among the black. More and more white threads emerge from the tapestry. Light and dark are woven side by side. Black and gray blend into a crescendo of white. Big, bold skeins, pure as snow. Darkness recedes. Light is coming. Deeply and passionately and compassionately moved by sinful mankind, God brings a Savior. Not a serpent lifted up for the people to see and be saved, but this time a human being, the man Jesus, God's only begotten Son. His colors are added to the canvas, and they are of purest white in stark contrast to the darkness of fallen humankind to whom he's been sent. This is the verdict, John writes. Light has come into the world, verse 19. Moving across the background, the motif of light and dark play against each other with contrasting threads. Our text says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, and everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Planted in dusty earth tones, a tree rises out of the canvas, rough-hewn and splintered. Brown and black threads of yarn pierce the tapestry, and pure white is woven into the tree, touched by knots of red and rust, the blood of our Savior. And then the tapestry goes dark, but dark does not remain. We see a white thread, and then a gold, and then silver, each adding another dimension to the one that preceded it. Soon the canvas is awash with the brilliance of the sun, warm, shimmering, pulsating with life. Love beams fall from the now vacant cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world, through him, might be saved. Jesus was first sent to the Hebrews, to the Jewish people. But now the whole world is touched by God's hand. Just as the colors of life returned to the darkness of the desert, so they do here. Soft greens, bolder greens, blue of every hue and color, cast a lush shimmer over the canvas. Now bright with the light of Christ's presence. John writes, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Jesus says in John 5:24, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. The woven colors are bright with life. And here and there, we find bands of lifeless, dark yarn. A reminder in John's words, whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That strand of realized eschatology asserts that judgment is already taking place in the life of the unbeliever and at his or her own hand. Dark vermilion colors the canvas, mixed among the bands of white and gold and silver. The colors of the canvas start and stop and merge and blend. But the tapestry is not yet complete. The canvas changes once again, like confetti falling on its surface, bright spots of color cascade across the tapestry. Bright primary colors mixed with subtle pastels, charcoal and brown adding contrast. There's movement and joy. You heard it read earlier from Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Salvation is not an end in itself, but a means to an end. The canvas depicts in an exuberant display of color and form the parable of the sheep and the goats, a digestive expectation where Jesus said, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Furthermore, our demeanor is guided by the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Saved from sin, saved to eternal life, saved for joyful, fulfilling, gracious service to people everywhere, and to be custodians of God's great wealth. The glorious tapestry, though, is not yet complete. It's your turn to add stitches of your own. What colors will you choose? The dark ones of unbelief? Maybe the gray ones of uncertainty? Or the bright ones of resilient faith? What about the eye-catching reds and yellows and blues of unselfish caring as you share Christ and serve others? The palette is now in your hands. How will you add to this glorious tapestry? Let us pray. Father, your words stand before us, and they catch us up. They cause us to take a deep breath, to stand back and think, to wonder, to reach out, to listen, to touch, to bless. Help us, O Lord, to be all that you intend for us to be. And may the light of your life and the passion of your service be the goal of our life. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Our call to prayer this morning is from Psalm 27, where we read, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Blessed Father and Lord, we lift our voices in prayer, praise, and rejoicing, for you brought us into this world and have sustained us even unto today. You are a light on our path, present in fear and anxiety, and take upon yourself our worries and concerns. How could we live without the foundation you provide for our faith and practice, both individually and as a congregation of faithful people? You have been our inspiration in years past, so strengthen our faith as we plan for the years before us. Guide the completion of our interim period and bring us a new pastor who has the experience, training, and skills to serve this congregation in this place at this time. Lord, there are many in our congregation and among our friends who await your healing for physical and mental challenges. In particular, there is one over whom we pray your special blessing. Please give each of them your curative touch and bless the work of their physicians, aides, and caretakers. May their strength become our blessing. For the exceptional grace gifts you have given us, O Lord, we thank you. When we see the needs of so many around us here and throughout the world, make our vision clear so that we resolve to share what we have in meaningful and generous ways. May our excess be another's blessing. May our sacrifice save lives. And Father, hear this special prayer written by a member of our transition team. Lord, we give you thanks for all our many blessings. For the freedom to think and express our opinions, we give you thanks, O Lord. For family, we give you thanks. For our church family, for friendship, for laughter, for food and shelter, for the beauty of the earth, for music, we give you thanks, O Lord. For the joy of expressing your love through service to others, as taught by your Son Jesus, we give you thanks. Lord, make us truly thankful for these and all other blessings, most especially for the immeasurable gift of your Son Jesus and the gift of our church. Help us to continue to serve as a strong light of Jesus in the world. Thank you, Father, for the gift of everlasting life in your presence, a life we claim even now. And hear our prayer as we combine our voices saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
As a little boy growing up in a Baptist church in South Carolina, the choir always sang, "At this moment, we give thee but thine own. All gifts are from God, and we return to God a portion of what we want to share with those." If you are indeed experiencing a sense of gladness that you're part of a community of faith that makes a difference in the world,
I hope that you will share generously so that others can be touched by the gladness that you feel. Join me in prayer. We are humbled by your generosity, Creator God. You have blessed us in so many ways. We pray that the times when we have taken for granted your many gifts and your many blessings that you forgive us and surround us with your grace and your love. As we bring our gifts joyfully to you, we pray that they will make a difference in the world that you have created and bring light where there is so much darkness. It's in Christ's name that we raise our prayer. Amen.
And surely consistent with the message of that prayer, this is the opportunity that you have to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if that is still waiting in front of you. It's also an opportunity to rededicate your life and ministry to the world and to the life of Christ and those whom He's called and those whom He's called us to bless. It's also an opportunity for us simply to stand and share, lift high the cross, and allow those words to touch us and bless us. Let us sing.
Delighted that so many of you have come today, and especially we have visitors who listed with us from New Mexico and from South Carolina, and also I think other places as well. Some of you coming to visit family, and we're glad that you are here today. Spring break is coming up for some of our college students, so we'll see an influx in Savannah, some of our own students, as well as from other places in the world. So, we are looking forward to a week of excitement as we approach St. Patrick's Day. I understand from a conversation I had some years ago that there's a group from Hilton Head that takes over our front porch on St. Patrick's Day and claims it's theirs. So if you want to see the parade, get here early. Beat all those folks from Hilton Head who come as well.
If you look at the back of the bulletin, you'll be able to see some of the events that are coming up this week. There are quite a few that are coming up, meetings and the like. One of the things that I would certainly want to make you aware of is that this coming Wednesday night, as with nearly every Wednesday night, we have at 5 o'clock our family night dinner. You're invited to come to that. And this week, the fourth in a series of five, headed by members of the Spiritual Formation Committee and other people, we will be focusing on the discipline of prayer, and Sarah Davis and Janice will be leading us in that discussion this coming Wednesday night. So we will certainly hope that you'll come and be a part of that as well.
I want to thank Charlie Benton, Reverend Charlie Benton, for assisting in the service this morning. I treasure him and his background and his training and his friendship. Please stand for the benediction, if you would. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listening to a worship service of First Baptist Church of Savannah. We also invite you to worship with us in person each Sunday at 11 a.m. in our sanctuary on Chippewa Square. All are welcome.